the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost. And today we also want to honor St. Sergius of Radonezh. It's his day today. And St. Sergius of Radonezh is very well known in Russia. Even as an infant, he was particularly a special child. He would, apparently at Divine Liturgy, even when his mother was still pregnant with him, he actually cried out from the womb three times during the cherubic hymn. And on fast days, on Wednesdays and Fridays, he would not nurse at all. He wouldn't take anything. So, but St. Demetrius, he was growing up as a boy, was sent to school. His parents were of initially at nobles. He had a very difficult time learning and just couldn't, you know, even though the teachers gave him special attention, tried to help him, and he just really struggled with this. And so one day he was a very pious boy, and one day he was walking home and was going through some field, and he saw what appeared to be a monk standing by a tree, and the monk was saying some prayers. So St. Dimitri walked over to him and St. Sergius walked over to him and waited until the monk finished his prayers. Well, this monk was actually an angel who had been sent by God to help him. And so the monk, the angel, said to St. Sergius, "What is it you desire?" And St. Sergius said, "Please pray for me that I can learn how to read." And the monk gave him a piece of Proserpina, and he said, "With this Proserpina, you know, I'll pray for you, and God will bless you to read." And he said, "Well, come home and meet my parents." So the angel went along with him, and he told St. Sergius's parents that St. Sergius was destined to be, you know, a great light in Russia for many people. So, and then he, while they're there in the house, they wanted to offer him some food, and so the angel said, "Well, first, let's have Sergius read us something." And so he read from the Psalter just like an expert, you know, and all of a sudden they were amazed. And so he just received the gift of being able to read and surpassed even his fellow students. Well, as he got older, he became a monk. He practiced a very extreme asceticism and built a small cell out in the forest and a little chapel dedicated to the Holy Trinity. And pretty soon other monks came and joined him, and pretty soon he had, you know, like a dozen or so monks. And they had this little monastery, and it continued to grow. Well, at one point, the monks thought he was too strict, so they decided, he decided, okay, fine, if this is too much, then, you know, I'll just go start another monastery. So he did, and but after then the whole monastery started to fall apart, and so they begged him to come back. so he came back, and then it really grew, and many miracles happened. St. Dimitri was given the gift of healing. I believe he raised even someone from the dead. The Mother of God and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John appeared to him from the other world to strengthen him and comfort him at one time. And at that time, Russia was in great struggles with these barbarian hordes, these Tatars. And they had a very difficult time, you know, defeating them in battle. They were so numerous and all this. And so this prince, Dmitry Donskoy, came to St. Sergius. He said, "We need your help. Please pray for us. We're going to go into battle. We'll see what happens, but we've got to do something about these Tatars." And so St. Sergius prayed to God, and all through the battle, and blessed the prince, and all through the battle he stood a prayer, and they completely, you know, defeated this very greatly outnumbered group of barbarians, thanks to St. Dimitri's prayers. And from that was a real turning point in the country of Russia, because then they didn't have quite so many troubles with the barbarians after that. So the monastery that St. Dimitri started is still there to this day. It's called the St. Sergius Trinity Lavra, and it actually has his name, which is, you know, a little unusual sometimes. But in fact, during the communist times, the atheist government was destroying monasteries and churches all over the place and closing them down and so on. But they didn't touch the St. Sergius Trinity Lavra, because they knew if they did that, the Russian people would just explode. They would just, you know, revolt, and they would have a big, you know, trouble on their hands. So they actually let that alone. Also, the famous iconographer, St. Andrew Rublev, came from that monastery, And our Bishop Longan studied there for 5 years, as a matter of fact, who's going to be visiting us in a few weeks. So we're very grateful to have saints like St. Dimitri, St. Sergius of Radonezh, forgive me, I keep getting him mixed up with. And on his scroll, on his icon, was kind of something that he always told everyone. He said, "Brethren, be attentive to yourselves. Have first the fear of God, purity of soul, and love unhypocritical." So that was his kind of, you know, motto, just like St. Herman has his, you know, thing on his scroll, and other saints too. So St. Sergius of Radonezh, pray to God for us. Well, today's gospel talks about the miracle that Christ worked with this miraculous catch of fish as a way to inspire Peter, James, and John to follow him and become his disciples. And St. Theophylact observes, "Marvel at how wisely the Lord arranges our salvation, drawing to himself each one by means of the things that are his own and with which he is familiar. As he attracted the Magi with a star, so now he draws the fishermen by means of fish." The Lord still uses this approach as a way to draw many to him even today. I knew someone who had a great passion for the subject of history, and what do you know? The Lord used this passion to convert this person to the Orthodox faith through the reading about the history of the church. St. Theophylact also looks at the events in this gospel from a spiritual viewpoint. He says the boat represents the synagogue of the Jews. Peter represents the teachers of the law, for the teachers of the law also toiled the whole night before Christ came. And he says that the time before Christ sojourning on earth was indeed night and took in nothing. But when Christ came and it became day, the teachers of the law were replaced by the apostles, who at his word let down the net, that is the gospel, in which they caught a great number of men that the apostles could not haul in the catch by themselves. And so they beckon to their partners and companions, and together they pull in the net. These are the pastors and teachers of the church in every generation who teach and interpret the words of the apostles, laboring with the apostles to catch mankind. Now, it would be easy to think that only the apostles and, you know, the clergy of the church have inherited this great responsibility to catch mankind. But remember the words of our Lord in St. John chapter 14, verse 12, when he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, so shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So the bishops and the priests and the deacons all have their jobs to do, especially to serve the sacraments and administer our churches. But it turns out that we lay people do not get off the hook so easily. The Lord expects all of his disciples to follow him and obey his commandments, and all of us are called to serve as witnesses, especially in our times. It's not necessary for every Christian to study at a seminary or obtain an academic degree in theology. Well, you know, for instance, where did Peter and James and John study? You know, what academic degrees did they achieve? I mean, they were simple fishermen who barely could read and write. So how did they fulfill Christ's commandments to catch men? Well, it was not through their exhaustive intellectual studies and great academic achievements, but rather their humility and obedience to Christ. Look at the example of Peter. He had been working hard all night long to catch some fish and had not caught anything at all. He must have been tired and looking forward to getting some rest. Then Jesus tells him to go back out and try catching some more fish. It's quite possible that Peter may not have wanted to do that and probably had some doubts about whether this would even work. After all, he does point out to Jesus that he says, "Lord, we have labored all night long and caught nothing." But, without further ado, Peter also says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And now he catches so many fish that the net breaks, the boats are filled, and they can barely haul in all these fish. Here's an example of true obedience in action. Consider what happens next. Peter says to the Lord, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Archbishop Ivericki says that with these words, he wanted to express his own sense of unworthiness before the greatness and power of the miracle worker. You know, in other words, he wasn't like the Gadarenes who wanted Jesus to leave so they wouldn't lose any more pigs or something. In his humility and repentance, Peter is truly able to fulfill Christ's calling by becoming a great apostle. And this is how we will be able to fulfill Christ's commandments, by being obedient and with repentant humility. Then Christ can make us fishers of men. in the life of St. Sergius of Radonezh, a peasant once came to the monastery to see him because he'd heard about his fame far and wide and all the many miracles that he'd done. And so he asked one of the monks at the monastery, where's the abbot? Where's St. Sergius of Radonezh? And the monk said he's out working in the garden. So the peasant goes to the garden, and he just sees this old man dressed in raggedy robe, pulling weeds or something. And he goes, they're just making fun of me because I'm a peasant, you know. So because he expects, St. Sergius to be decked out in some, fine vestments and sitting on a throne or something, I guess. So in the meantime, he goes into the refectory, the dining room, and they're having something to eat, and St. Sergius, again in his raggedy robes, is serving everyone, including this peasant. And so the peasant says to St. Sergius, thinking he's just some lowly, monk, that he really was hoping to see, the abbot. And Sergius is clairvoyant, sees exactly what's going on in this guy's heart, and he says, well, just be patient, and you'll see him eventually. So in the meantime, here comes the prince with all his retinue and all the nobles and all their finery, and they all bow before St. Sergius and ask his blessing. So the peasant has been, in the meantime, scuttled off to out of the room because there's not enough space, so he has to look from a distance just to get a glimpse of St. Sergius. And then he realizes he'd made a big mistake. So he, as soon as he could, he ran to St. Sergius, fell at his feet, and asked his forgiveness. And St. Sergius said to him, actually, you're quite right. I'm really nothing. That's how humble he was. Well, in our modern times, most people have heard all about the gospel and how they're supposed to do good and go to church. We know many people like this and ourselves. However, most people really have not heard about the fullness of the Christian faith that we have received as Orthodox Christians. Unfortunately, even when we try to share our faith with others, they often turn a deaf ear because they've already heard all the words. They've read the Bible, they've heard, they maybe grew up in church and Sunday school and so on. But yet, not always with the real true understanding or the fullness. And this is why in our times today, we are often called upon to serve as silent witnesses for Christ. Now, it might seem counterintuitive to think that simply practicing our faith through prayer and fasting and almsgiving and confession and communion and all the rest would be of much use to anyone besides ourselves. But this is absolutely the most powerful way to proclaim the gospel in its Orthodox fullness. And by doing this to the best of our ability, God will draw many because others will be able to see firsthand Christians who reverence Christ and His church. And brothers and sisters, the fields are white to harvest. We look around us. We live in a very difficult times today. Hardly a Christian, a model of flowering of Christian culture, that's for sure, in our world today. So many people are in great need to really understand the fullness of the Christian faith, and not just this kind of more superficial version that they've heard about, just with, be good morals and that. So that's really our calling. As Americans especially, we're really called to be witnesses for our fellow citizens, so that they can, learn about our Orthodox faith and benefit from it. O Lord, we pray that you will help us to imitate your holy apostles by practicing obedience to your commandments and humility before you, so that you could use us to help many other people to find their way to salvation. Glory be to our God.